Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Good evening and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and this evening we are going to have ourselves, as usual, a very lively conversation. It's July 11th, one day after independence, so, you know, we weren't here, so happy independence, Bahamas, 51 years of independence, 51 years of self-determination. And that's kind of the era around which our conversation will kind of revolve today. Again, if you want to join us, our numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can also contact us via the text line of 422-4796. And I have in studio with me my daughter today, and she's going to join us on the conversation at maybe at some point in time. This is like three strikes and you're out. But, you know, we look forward to having this conversation. I think it's important. And what is informing where I'm coming from with this as we think about independence, as we reflect on the time pass, you know, because oftentimes persons will say, you know, well, you know, are we truly independent? We are an independent nation. Is that so? And you have a wide range, actually, of offerings. So there are persons who range from one extreme, which says, you know, we've still been ruled by the king and the governor general is representing the king. And so you're not independent. And then on the other extreme side is, hey, every decision this government makes or any government makes, they have to take into consideration what the IMF and the UN and the G7 and the G12 or the G20 and whatsoever else organization is out there. So consequently, we can't be independent. And so, you know, you hear this play, and it's something which, you know, I guess there are different camps. There are persons who are very comfortable making that argument. Persons are even very, very comfortable saying, maybe we shouldn't have given up independence from the UK. We would have been better off. I heard someone on a radio program, I think it was Naughty Show earlier, and the text was basically this: look, it would be better if a certain grouping of persons were ruling us, because at least I know that they don't like me. And, you know, it wouldn't be like these other persons who come in my house, sit down and drink my drinks and eat off my food, ask me to promise to vote for them, and then, you know, they do bad things to me. It's a sentiment which I personally reject, because, you know, to get to a place where a country has self-determination, has the ability to do whatsoever it is that it wants to do, where the people decide who leads the country by the ballot box in a democratic environment, fair. When you have that type of a circumstance as the Bahamas has had for many, many years. I don't subscribe to the idea that the Bahamas has had a stable democracy for 200 years. There are things which were in play up to 1967 that don't support that idea. But I understand it's good for marketing. It wasn't a violent environment or anything like that. So it can be said, I do not subscribe to it. Since 1967, the Bahamas has had full adult suffrage, and persons have had the opportunity to make their decisions. They vote for the government that they want in, and if they don't like them, they vote them out the next time. Sir Lyndon Pinlin and the PLP was in for 25 years, and then came the FNM, and they were in for 10 years, and then subsequently, everybody has been in for 5 years in, 5 years out, 5 years in, 5 years out. And so consequently, you have the total populace making a determination, the citizenry of the country, making the determination as to who's going to lead the country and who's going to make these decisions. And it's around that type of a concept, it's around that foundation, that framework, that infrastructure, that this whole idea of independence is built. Now, yes, we can, and we will get into the discussions around, some things which exert influence. But the exertion of influence does not in any way, shape, or form diminish the absolute idea of independence, in that we are not any longer connected to a metropole. There's no mother country. There's no father country. Yes, relations maintained with the UK for historical reasons. Some of us agree with some of us don't. Yes, relationships have been maintained with a groupings of countries within the Commonwealth for trade reasons, for geopolitical reasons, for cultural reasons, and that's fine. But in absolute terms, the Bahamas is a independent country. Another discussion which arises, and we go back to some more of that later, as soon as my co-host warms up and gets ready to speak, but there was a question asked recently, is the country better off today, 51 years after independence, than it was 51 years ago? And again, depends on where you come from, where you sit, what perspective you wish to take, how you look at it. You may say no. And there's a school of thought or a grouping of persons who will agree with you. I personally, based on historical reading, studying what's happening, I jump in on the scene somewhere in between that 51 years. But my bet would be, an educated guess really, that the Bahamas is much better today than it was 51 years. As a matter of fact, let me put it this way, for the majority of the persons in the Bahamas, the citizens, they are better off today than they were 51 years ago. And I don't think many, many persons would be willing to step forward and argue that. Now, you can come up with some subjective issues. Back in the days, you felt better. Back in the days, you had more plum trees, or you could go and walk freely on the beach, or some issues like that. But generally speaking, taking all that into consideration, taking into consideration the economic advancement of individuals and the country in general, taking into consideration the advancement in education and the general availability to all persons, taking into consideration the advancement in healthcare and the general ability, or at least greater ability, for more persons to participate or to share in that, to consume that type of a service. Looking at the range of opportunities which are open to more persons, especially individuals who are from the African diaspora, there's absolutely no way one could really comfortably and reasonably walk away with the idea that the country is not better off than it was. If you look back to, I think, 1967, effectively, the Bahamas had an apartheid system in some ways. There were persons who weren't allowed to go certain places. There was a physical separation between races. Collins Wall is and still stands as a testament to that time. That's not here now. So even from a humanity point of view, the fact that the country and its citizenry is more all-embracing, everybody is pretty much on the same footing. Everyone, sees everyone else in their at their truest level of humanity. Even from that perspective, the country is better off. Financially, educationally, 90%+, I think it is, literacy level. You know, many, many countries don't even come close to that. Now, one may argue, again, persons will jump in and say, yeah, you can say that, but we have a DR. When you look at everything in its totality, when you look at where Bahamians are all over the world, individuals going off to university, coming back, individuals staying here, going to University of the Bahamas, individuals going to, what is the school up the road name? The vocational school. I can't remember the name. But going to the vocational school and coming out with technical skills and doing all of these things, which is advancing the country. Yeah, we can make an argument. Could have been further on. There's some things which could have been done better. There's some things which ought to be done better. There's some things which need to move faster, need greater investment, need greater attention, needs greater strategy, needs greater controlling, needs to be streamlined such that more persons over the hill, for example, get a better shake at the economy. But that said, when we put everyone and distill that down to a common denominator, I think it's better off. I really, really do think it's better off. But this whole idea of independence, which we kind of want to linger on a little bit today. So, Safia, what do you think? Do you think the Bahamas is a truly independent country?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Expand on that.
I mean, I don't know. There's not much to say. Like, we're independent. We were given independence. We were given independence 51 years ago. We basically make all of our own decisions based on what's happening in the country by ourselves. I mean, yes, there's like external factors that they always have to take in, but at the end of the day, the Bahamas makes decisions based on the Bahamas. So that's as independent as you can get in today's world.
And that right there is fundamentally the answer. In when you distill everything down to, its total essence, that is the answer. Now, here's why some persons kind of struggle with this idea. So the Bahamas may go out there and make a decision to align with one type of a thinking on the international scene or against another. Persons usually then take the view that sometimes the Bahamas is pressured because it has huge amount of debt. And when you have debt, then the persons who lend you the money dictates to you. The truth is, a large portion of the Bahamian debt comes from right here, the national debt comes from right here in the country. Yes, that differential has been narrowing over the years and the foreign debt has becoming more and more significant. But what is important in that analysis compared to many other countries is you have to look at who the Bahamas borrows from. The Bahamas have a big chunk from, you refer to the capital market. The Bahamas don't have any major loan from institutions like the IMF, which is going to come in with some sort of ESSAP program and impose policy positions on the country. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the greatest fear of any politician, any leader in this country, this whole idea of the Bahamas getting involved in a IMF program. But when you do certain things like that, when you have debt or you in a circumstance where you can't manage, like we saw with Barbados and we saw with Jamaica, and they enter these programs, their policy position becomes curtailed to some extent. And it is not that these external countries are imposing on them. They're saying, look, you know, if you want us to help you to become better economically, financially, then here are some things which you should do. What I find interesting is usually, now they can go far. Sometimes they can go over the line. There's no question about that because they don't necessarily balance the pain of the citizens. So they may push a little bit too far. But when you look at the decisions which are being asked to be made, more often than not, it is decisions which the country by itself should have made in the first instance before it got itself in trouble. The operative term there is in trouble. The Bahamas is not in any trouble in that regard. Some challenges, some struggle, but not there. So consequently, we must accept that the Bahamas' independence is intact. The Bahamas does not depend on other individuals to frame its foreign policy, for example. It makes a determination as to who it wants to support and who it doesn't want to support. The Bahamas is highly aligned with Western thinking and certainly with the thinking of the United States. They are our neighbors. We are considered to be in their backyard, or they're in our backyard. We almost share a border, yeah, like the fourth border of the United States. So consequently, you have to take that into consideration. Security is a major issue. The United States is heavily resourced. I guarantee you, any guy who run up on us, to use street parlance, and say, "We got you," they're going to have to talk to the United States because they're not going to let that happen. The idea that you may have a hostile party or a hostile entity, a hostile country, comes in and take over the Bahamas, the United States won't allow that. And for that reason, we're good friends. We have to talk to them. And when it comes to issues like security, like managing the airspace and things, the policies that are implemented in the Bahamas must take that into consideration. For many, many years, the United States controlled the airspace of the Bahamas. Only like recently, maybe I think in the last administration or previous PLP administration, that this was done. And I think finalized under the FNM. So, you know, these things do not make the country not independent. It does mean that the country operates in an environment of interdependency. And that's a good thing. Because one must realize that if the Bahamas existed, the 700 rocks and keys, islands and keys, existed by itself, then it would have to produce goods and services and sell to the 700 islands and keys. 400,000 persons at this point in time would still not be enough to feed 400,000 persons, even if you spread them across the whole 700 rocks, because we need input from the outside. So when we make these broad statements, for example, I think we need to have some sort of a mechanism or framework around which we can discuss these issues. And one of my biggest go-to would be, do you have a democratically elected government in the Bahamas? Yes. We do, right?
Yes.
So that's a starting point. So that's necessary but not sufficient, because you could have a democratically elected government and they could just, you know, really acquiesce to the ideas of external forces, yeah? They could kind of break under the pressure of, say, a United States or Russia or whatsoever country who may want to bring some pressure to bear. But let's go a little bit further and look at the whole idea of our sovereignty. Is the Bahamas a sovereign nation? Is it? Yes, it is. The Bahamas is a nation in full control of both its internal and external affairs without the interference of anybody. Our sovereignty is kind of the flagship of that is our Constitution. And the Constitution stands up as a symbol of the power of the government, the power of the judiciary, the power of the executive, the power of parliament, the legislature. It tells you what the power of the governor general is, how the various organs of government work, how the different aspects of the country work, how citizenship is given, how it's taken away, what can be done, what cannot be done, what is allowed. And, you know, like most constitutions, it have gray areas where it allows for policy to be addressed. But overall, generally speaking, the country is sovereign. And because a country is sovereign, then we have to be independent. The country has its own economic system, as can be easily established. We sell goods and services for the most part. We export tourism. We export financial services. We export fishery. We import pretty much everything else. But the reason that we can do that is because of these other things that we export in order we have enable us to have the money to buy these things. So from that perspective, again, it underlines and support independence. Because if you weren't independent, then some other people would be feeding you. Some other people would be caring for your circumstance. Like, for example, you would remember, many persons would remember in recent times the situation that took place in Turks and Caicos, where a man was physically sent to Turks and Caicos to kind of take over the country because they had some issues with the premier then and some other persons. And so England sent in this individual, a governor, to take over the whole management of the country. And they did what they had to do. They ousted the premier. There was a commission of inquiry, and there were cases being tried before the court or however they were doing it. But the fact of the matter is that the motherland, England in this instance, to Turks and Caicos, took control. If the Bahamas has a similar problem, if the Bahamas have some circumstance with the leadership of the country, there is no England that can come inside here and dictate to the Bahamas how to resolve that. That has to be done internally. There is no playbook out there that somebody can fly in and say, this is how you resolve the issues of the Bahamas. No, the issues will have to be looked to in the Constitution. And when there are differences and matters to be resolved, we'll have to look to the judiciary. So the legal system which is in place helps to undergird and maintain the independence of the country. So we have a full-fledged, well-developed legal system based on common law, obviously, because historically we are connected with the UK. So this is a mature system, well-developed system. The Bahamas makes its own laws, repeal them if necessary, expand them when necessary, consolidate when necessary. But the idea is that the Bahamas can decide tomorrow that walking on the sidewalk, which is on the left side of the road, is illegal. And if you walk over there, you can be arrested and you go to jail. And they could make the law such that if you did get arrested and go to jail, you could go to jail for a minimum of 15 years. Some people might cry and say it's unconstitutional, but the law is the law. You'll have to then go test it in the court. And that's why you have the court system. So you have the judiciary, which will then ask the question, is this law fair? Is this law consistent with international standards, because obviously we have international obligations under international conventions and international law. And so you can go and test it. But the point is, in the first instance, is the legislature which is passing that law. And in the second instance, if you're going to test or challenge it, you're going to go to the judiciary. And all those organs, two organs of government, are internal to the country. So when persons make this broad statement that we're not independent, it's a little bit of an affront. When you speak about a country not being independent, with Bahamas, Jamaica, Barbados, whichever country, I think greater care should be put into analyzing and assessing. And I understand on some level, on an emotional level, why persons say this at times. But the truth is, we have to get rid of the emotion. We have to go beyond that, and we have to get into what the fundamentals are. Because when we talk, we're talking to young people like Safia here. And when you sit, Safia, and you listen, as we heard earlier, persons sharing this information about, you know, what they would prefer or who they would prefer to be led by. I mean, how do you absorb that? How does it hit you? You know, the idea that you have the option of being led by persons of your own, like of your own kind, individuals within your own country. But here's someone proposing, well, I think some persons external to this country is better off leading us. Well, because I would be better off knowing that the individual actually don't like me and is going to treat me badly, but I can deal with that. What do you take on that?
Me personally, I would not like someone externally ruling over, like making decisions for me. Because, for example, like say now, say someone comes in right now. They've never been in this country before. They've no idea, just read up some history, couple things, what they're told to fix, and that's it. They come in and they make their changes based on what they know. But obviously they didn't grow up here. They don't know the culture. They don't know anything. They don't actually know the history. Something about that just doesn't sit right with me. Because I grew up here and I want someone who has my experience, my similar feelings about how my country should be run to run my country.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems unfair in a sense to not only me, but like everybody, because how can some random Englishman come in here? How can some random Englishman?
Are you picking on the Englishman?
I can... Yes. You asked my opinion, so thank you.
Go ahead.
Come in here and tell me that what I've been doing, what's been working for us for years now, even if some things still have to change, is completely wrong and we need to change our system. And now...
But just because he does it differently.
Yes. It's like, that works over there, but this our small couple of islands...
Mm-hmm.
It's run differently, and only we know how this country will be run because we're different.
Does that mean you're not open to suggestion? You're not open to new ideas? You're not open to making informed adjustments?
No. That means, hey, maybe we can sit down and talk about some things that can help you
mm-hmm.
run this country. I noticed that you had a problem and I wanted to say, here's how we deal with it over here. Maybe it'll work over here. I'm not going to put out random words I don't know.
Yes.
advice is the only thing that I feel as if they are entitled to give
mm-hmm.
for us. There's no way I would listen to somebody who don't even know the national anthem of this country.
You're radical. I get what you're saying. It wouldn't be as radical and not knowing the national anthem because persons turn up, you don't, right? But the point you made earlier, I think, is very important. I'll reframe it like this. The only thing that any external entity, whether it's an individual or an organization, is entitled to is their advice and their suggestions. And ultimately, if that advice and that suggestion becomes implemented, it's not them, but because someone locally, someone in authority, someone in power made an active decision to take the idea, to take the suggestion, to take the advice and implement it. So when we often make this argument that these persons are telling us what to do, we skip over the part which says, but we can tell them no.
Exactly.
We can reject what they say. It's optional whether or not we decide to do that. And as you indicated earlier, which I think is a very important point, you kind of frame it differently. But your thing which works where you're from may not work here because there's certain nuances. Not that we're not going to take it, not that we're not going to implement the best element of it, but I know some things that you don't know. Like, if you decide, well, you know, we're only going to make sure we send the people to jail who walk on the left side, right? Maybe in certain places, that's the only space you can put a sidewalk. Because if you put it on the left side, it's going to cause flooding. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I'm just making this up as I go. But the external individual wouldn't know that. And it is for us, the persons who are receiving the advice, who are receiving the suggestion, to bring those nuances and say, well, yes, I understand in principle where you're going. But listen to this. If I put that in place, then all of them people are going to drown.
Yep.
And so the good you're trying to achieve is going to eventually turn out to be damaging, to be destructive. So don't do that. And so we have to get to the place where we understand when we're talking about a country, when you're talking about your country, that independence is not this idea that we exchange information, that we share ideas, that there is some level of interdependency taking place here. That doesn't X out the fact that the country is independent. It's the fact that in 1973, we were, up to that point, significantly unfortunately, attached to the UK. That came out of a history of slavery and colonialism. The country made the decision, or they made the decision, help us make the decision, because a lot of these colonial separation, these independence, were not necessarily, you know, they weren't resisting it. We became a burden. Financially, it just didn't work anymore, because all of this that we see, all of this history that we study, all of this talk about slavery and colonialism, it was about economics. It was about us funding the UK. This is where the money was made. This is where sugar came from. In this side of the world is where cotton came from. Is this side of the world is where other produce came from, spices and so on and so forth, and went there. Didn't work anymore. The economics didn't work, and so they wanted to get rid of us. So when we all decided to go, they were happy to. But the idea is simply this. On July 10th, 1973, the Bahamas symbolically got its independence from England. And from that day forward, it was responsible for its own internal self-governance. That has not changed. The UK flag has never been put up back on a pole since then to say, hey, we're taking you back over. And so from that moment forward, every single thing that the Bahamas does, whether it is good or bad, whether we got it right or wrong, is a decision made by an independent country, usually represented by its leadership, who are democratically elected. And I think it is in that vein that we need to continuously view the country. There are many persons who really fought for this moment, you know, persons who put a lot of effort in making that happen. And to speak otherwise about it, I think, is to diminish their effort, diminish their sacrifice, diminish all that they did in giving up some time, almost giving up limb. Not a lot of that took place in this country, but persons sacrificed significantly. Persons labored for this to happen. And so out of respect for those, the forerunners, the nation builders, those who sacrificed on the front line, those who are now emerging as national heroes, being recognized as national heroes, I think we have an obligation to speak in that direction, to speak of the fact that the people who are in the Bahamas today, the leaders who are in the Bahamas today, are actively protecting that patrimony, protecting the country, and ensuring that the independence which was secure continues for many, many, many years to come, forever and a day. You listen to The Essentials of Reset. I'm here with my co-host this evening, Safia Edwards. I'm sitting in, and we're having a chit-chat about independence. We're having a chit-chat about whether the country is different. And we're going to talk about some other aspect. We're also going to talk a little bit about how the country is going to move forward. So we don't want you to move. We want you to stick around. Come back. Give us a call, 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259. Don't move. Come right back.
You try to rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance, and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
Morning is like a baby. Morning. Independence. Morning is like a baby. Morning. On July 10th, 1973, Bahamians everywhere were free. Free to shape their destiny in the land of the rolling sea. Man and woman, boy and girl, there is none rich like our soil. Independence morning is like a baby morning. Independence morning is like a baby morning.
Independence morning, it's like a baby born in. And, you know, that's really, I think, you know, from an imagery point of view, it really captures this whole idea of a brand new country, a babe, which needs to grow up to become a child and then a toddler. No, we go toddler, then a child, then a teenager, then an adult. And then, you know, you get into your older age. But the growth process, I think sometimes we get a little bit too carried away. Without making excuses for opportunities missed, for any areas of mismanagement, for places where we should have applied greater effort, better policies and so on, without making any excuses for those. One has to understand and appreciate that there's a growing up process. So many of the things, and sometimes the country gets compared to bigger countries, developed countries. And in 2024, I can understand that there is a ubiquity of information which didn't exist like in, you know, a century or two centuries ago, where if a big country was doing something and doing it excellently, when we couldn't find out, we didn't know what the technology is, we didn't know what the processes are. Today, that is so much easier to know and to apply. And consequently, the period between having a desire to do a thing and actually being able to implement that, that's significantly reduced compared to 200 years ago, maybe even 50 years ago, before the internet existed. So we have to look at country through those type of a lens, but also understand that development and maturity takes time. We also must not, and too often, we see persons who become or have this propensity to become insular. It's kind of like an all or nothing, it's us or them type of a situation. But in a world, the world that we live in today, a very interconnected world, this may be where this idea of lack of independence comes in, because the eras, the gray eras in which we exist, where there's a crossover between one country and the next, one interest and the next, highlights our interdependence. Our interdependence with other nations around the world, with other peoples, with other cultures, even before going outside the borders of the Bahamas, even before stepping on a plane and going to the United States or to Canada or down in Turks and Caicos or down in Jamaica or any place else, if you just spend some time right here looking at the people who are here, you realize that there is an interdependency between persons of different nations taking place right here in the Bahamas. Some of them bring skills, some of them bring manual labor, some of them bring money, some of them bring capital, if you want to style it as that. Others bring their influence, others come for partying and create economies, others come for a better way of living, and they create economies around which we all work, live, and grow. And so that interdependence occurs almost fluently without having to be in any sort of a formal structure. It's right there. The moment you need, the Bahamas needs a teacher, and that position cannot be filled or isn't filled by a local Bahamian, the interdependency is at play. The moment there's a need for doctors, and some of those doctors come from the Philippines, or they come from the United States, or they come from Cuba, that interdependence is in play. The moment you need some additional person to work, maybe in an engineering field or in an accounting field or in an electrical field, and those persons are sourced from elsewhere, that interdependence is occurring. Because in the first instance, those individuals had to be educated in their country. They had to grow and develop in their country, and then they bring their skills to you. So it's taking place. And the same thing will happen because persons from the Bahamas will then move to another country. We know individuals who were leading managers in Jamaica in tourism. I think one example was Mr. Sandy Sands, who worked in Jamaica. We have Mr. Thompson, Tommy Thompson, I think his name is, who is now in, I think, St. Kitts and Nevis, leading the tourism effort in that country. And there are many examples of Bahamians elsewhere doing this. So while it may not be that somebody come with a whole load of money or a big project and you say, okay, that's where the interdependence is, fact that we are exchanging skills, we're exchanging cultural, there's an exchange of cultural interaction, that interdependency is playing out. So you have economic interdependency where you have trade, you have investments, so persons come in with a foreign direct investment. We need that to build a country, so we need a Bahama, we need Atlantis, we need the one down the point, and the new one, which is out on Goodsman Bay. We need those things. Individuals with money look at the Bahamas and say, ah, you have a great investment environment. We can make our money back. We're coming there. The Bahamas say, aha, we want you to come here because when you invest, when you build a building, you can't put it in your pocket and walk away with a building. So you have to stay it and make sure it works. And if you're going to go, you'll have to sell it to somebody else. But we will then be paid taxes. Persons will be employed. Economies will spring up around the business that you do because you have to buy electricity, you have to buy goods and services locally, you have to do many other things which is going to pump money into the economy. So there are these interdependence which occur. They occur at that level and they also occur between countries. We depend, for example, on the United States for driving our tourism market. 80% of the market, it is said, come from the United States. That is the interdependence. If tomorrow morning we wake up and we hear that the United States doesn't exist anymore, it doesn't mean that we don't have tourism, but it certainly will take a while to fill that. Or maybe it still exists, but you know, for some reason it floats all the way out to where China is, far, far, far from us. That would be disruptive to our tourism market. So that interdependency has to be there. And the fact that 80% of your people, 80% of your market is coming from a particular country. And plenty of these persons are going to be on land at any point in time. You can bet your bottom dollar that the people who run the country from where they are from are kind of looking at them and saying, you know, are they okay down there? And that's why you hear from time to time the United States Embassy may put out a notice or say something, but they are concerned. We have an industry, the cruise ship industry, that moves many, many persons between the Bahamas and the United States. And planes are going back and forth. After 9/11, they're always going to be concerned, are the people, all of the people on the plane good? Is anybody on there who don't really interested in landing? And because of that interdependence, our security, the security of one country and the other country is interconnected. Because a guy could jump on a plane and decide, well, I'm flying over to the Bahamas, but I have no intention of landing. I'm just going to look for an important landmark where some people are, and I'm going to stop there. Or vice versa. So there are these interdependencies which are necessary for global stability. Necessary for global stability, for peace, for economic advancement, for growth, for development. And consequently, we cannot use those interactions to diminish our own independence. We have to look at them and recognize that they are means and vehicles through which we are gleaning benefits and we're growing and we're advancing. everything doesn't always turn out to be perfect. Everything don't always turn out to our advantage. But for the most part, you're better off than you were. So there are those type of independence. And then there's political independence, interdependence. Politically, we maintain diplomatic relationships with different countries. I mentioned this. We have diplomatic relationships with United States, with China, with UK, with Canada, with many, many other countries. An interesting one is China and Taiwan, I think. You know, the Bahamas decide. Just recently, the Bahamas decided that it was going to recognize Palestine as a country. Many, many persons, even locally, says, what is the Bahamas doing? They can't do that. The United States is going to kill us. And regardless of what your views are, if you go back to the fundamental issue here, it is this. The Bahamas, through the leadership, decided by itself, not cajoled by anyone, it had the option of not doing it, but decided that it was going to recognize Palestine. That there is a hallmark of an independent nation making decision, making policy, taking policy position in its own interest and for its own business. Decided by no one else on the outside. We also have interdependence which emerged as a result of our participation in international organizations such as the United Nations and various others. The Bahamas is a member of CARICOM. The Bahamas is a member of the Commonwealth. So these things naturally occur. And they're beneficial. They're beneficial. So for example, there's a myriad of conventions which comes out year over year, which the Bahamas either sign on to, or it decide, well, I'm not going to sign on to this, or it reserves some aspect of it. But these things help the country to manage in a way which is conducive to the benefit of humanity, generally speaking. In an era like, for example, the trafficking in humans, human trafficking, there are arrangements which would allow a behemoth, if a behemoth is finding himself in such a predicament and taken to another place, would allow that individual to be given help, to be searched for, to be found, and to be brought back to the country safely. There are guidelines, there are guard posts, there are guardrails, which put that in place. And that interdependence must exist in order for that type of a thing to work. Imagine if, you know, in a world where, you know, you just have a big bad country over there and decide it's going to just knock off that little country over there without anybody saying anything or at least flexing a muscle which says, no, 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 hold on, you can't do that. Even though sometimes the flex is, you know, not properly driven. We could arc back to the decision to go to war between the United States and Iraq, and there was things that happened in between which were oftentimes not true. The information was false. But generally speaking, there is a balance which occurs as a result of being participant, being allied to, being aligned with certain groupings of country or certain organization. And that interdependence benefits us as a country. There's legal and regulatory independence. In some instance, the Bahamas, you know, get beat up. You know, there's AML, KYC. There is all type sort of, you know, a regulatory arrangement which impacts our financial services. We get sanctioned, sometimes we get, well, not sanctioned, but blacklisted or graylisted, and we cry foul. But in the grand scheme of things, when you kind of take out some of the hits that we get and you look at a country all across the world, these regulatory arrangements, these legal arrangements, these international obligations help to make the world a better place, help to make the financial system more stable. So that monies can keep flowing into the Bahamas. So the Bahamas can be viewed as a jurisdiction of great repute. And consequently, people come here to buy financial services. People come here to live. People come here to do whatsoever they do, and the country benefits. That's interdependence at work. And I mentioned already the international laws, so where you have countries are bound by international laws and treaties which regulate behavior. We have laws on human rights, very, very important. We have laws on trade. We have laws on the environment. The government currently is seeking to do a debt for swap, a swap where we trade debt for, taking portions of the country, whether it's a sea park, and reserving that, and as a result of that, we would get concessionary loans, right? And I'm not using the right term at the moment, but the whole idea is that we either get the debt forgiven, or we receive debt at concessionary levels. How can this happen if the Bahamas is at a place where it owes money? Maybe a bit challenged in making that payment. And there are entities, whether it's a country or an organization, willing to do this, willing to recognize that the Bahamas protecting the seagrass or protecting the marine parks creates a benefit for the wider world outside of the Bahamas, and therefore willing to give concession. That level of interdependence ultimately benefits us because there's more conch being bred in those protected areas. There's more fish. The areas which we have seagrass, which gives off more oxygen or suck up more CO2, whatever the direction of the movement is, that becomes beneficial to us as a country, just as it benefits everybody else. So consequently, we have to get to the place where we start to understand that we're not living in an non-independent country, but rather a country which is fully independent, but with a whole suite of interdependency which are necessary for the country to function well, for the country to flourish, for the country to have opportunities to grow and develop, and for every individual, you and I, to benefit. And we can argue about how much the money flows to you personally or the person around the corner as an individual. We can argue that, but at a macro level, at the high level, cumulative level, it is happening. And because it is happening, the country is able to maintain certain economic arrangements, certain economic system. The dollar is able to be pegged one-to-one with the United States. We are able to find money to maintain the reserves and consequently maintain the peg. And, you know, all the Bahamians out there are very, very proud of the fact that the dollar is strong. It's one-to-one. It's a source of pride. Comes with advantages and disadvantages, yes. But what would happen if tomorrow that was to change because we decided in an insular way that some of these interdependencies that we are currently nurturing are unnecessary? We don't want to be a part of a certain organization. We don't want to be a part of CARICOM. We don't want to be a part of the Commonwealth. We don't want to get any type of, have any type of relationship with the UN. We don't want to interact with the World Bank. We don't want to interact with the IMF. What would happen tomorrow in that type of a circumstance? Would you then turn around and say that the leadership are wrong? They made the wrong decision to move away from these things? Would you say that? Or would you cheer them for doing so? Because in a short while, we would have potentially less tourists coming in, less economic activity. The dollar would come under pressure. And you would be happy, yeah? No, you wouldn't be. You would now start to say, well, you know, why is it that they're not talking to the UN? Why is it that they are not part of CARICOM? Why is it that we are not a part of the Commonwealth? Because these things benefit us. Oftentimes, and this is where this little thing comes in, which says The cow don't know the use of its tail until it loses it. And he have some fly to fun away. At the point in time when we lose these things, it will then become evident how important they are. And so I'm saying to persons out there who support this idea of making broad statement about the lack of independence, and when the country goes out through its leadership and get involved in these multilateral arrangements for the benefit of the country, and this statement assumes that they do it properly and they do it well and they implement these things effectively for the benefit of the citizens. My statements assume that. But the whole idea is that we cannot not do these things. We cannot live in an insular fashion. We cannot run away from the rest of the world. And if that is how you define independence, you're going to have a problem. Because as much as you may be or you may feel that you are an independent entity in and of yourself, you're dependent on so many other persons. Somebody build your house, somebody cook your food. You may be able to cook the food, but somebody prepare the produce. Somebody planted the yam that you eventually eat, or the thing which made the flour or the rice. You cannot survive by yourself. No one does. And it is in the same way that the country need to. And what we must understand when we make these broad arguments is we should not kind of give leadership a pass. We should not just simply say we are not independent because the United States is telling us what to do, or the UK is telling us what to do, or the IMF is telling us what to do. The thing that we should look at and ask ourselves is how well are our leaders making the decisions which need to be made? Because every single thing which happens or don't happen is a result of an active decision. They decided we're going to go with this or we're not going to do that. We're going to implement this or we're not going to implement that. Or they just totally forget. We were supposed to do that, we forget. It's a decision. The fact though is that when you assess the independence, you must look at this idea of self-determination. And in a very simple manner is, do I have the right to decide yea or nay? And if I have that option, if no one has a gun to my head, if no one is compelling me, if I'm not forced to make a decision one way or the other, then clearly I have an independent mind which is being addressed to the particular matter. And consequently, my independence has been maintained. So it's not some guy, some country, some entities, some organization out there which is running the Bahamas. It's persons right here, individuals that you know. And the extent to which it is done well or not done well is some people you know, the persons you see, the persons you elected, those are the decision makers, and they are the individuals who are managing this independent entity on a go-forward basis. And so I think we should, in celebration of a growing nation, in celebration of the fight to get us to this point, in celebration of what the motto says, forward, upward, onward, together, let the world mark your bearing. Look to the rising sun. For the persons who went before us, who didn't have a chance, who were compelled to do certain things and couldn't have done otherwise, in celebration of that, which we reflect on an Independence Day and soon to come Emancipation Day. For those persons, for that type of a situation, for those type of arrangement, I think we need to kind of cloak ourselves in a different type of a narrative and see the country as charting its way forward, experimenting. I'm not saying don't criticize, because where criticism is necessary, it should be given and it should be taken. But let's not sell this idea that there's some persons, some entities, some forces outside of us running us. That's not the case. We are responsible for our own destiny. And at the end of the day, if you look at it this way, at the end of the day, some persons may come to help you, but ultimately, if things go terribly wrong, it's only Bahamians who can save Bahamians. So from that perspective, as we celebrate independence, give that a little bit more thought. Think about it differently. Do not speak that into the psyche of the nation. Let's think about it from the perspective that it's a growing country, it's a young country, has some work to do, has huge potential, got some things right, got some things wrong, but it's a work in progress. But we are all of independent mind, independent desire, independent outlook, and we are going to work consistently to make sure that some of those desires become reality. And then some other persons can come and build on that, and more and more. And when we are no longer on the scenes, individuals like Safia will continue that work. Because growing a country, obviously, is a never-ending arrangement. You listen to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a little bit of a chat here with my co-host this evening, Safia Edwards. And so I gave you a break in that section. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how we grow as a country, how we move forward. How are we supposed to now use the platform of an independent nation and the obligations that each grouping have to move this country forward? What are some of the things which are on your mind? Still some time if you wish to join us, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or text line 422-4796. You listen to The Essential, The Reset. Don't move. Come right back.
Coconut water, jelly, gin and coconut water. Gin and coconut water, can I get it in America? What's the tonic, man? Coconut jelly, I'm a builder.
Printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Bimini is the gateway, Bahamas. 1492, Columbus landed. 1973, we were free. From Nassau to Inagua, Bahamas. From Freeport to Miquona, Bahamas. Tourists love our country, Bahamas. 700 islands, Bahamas. Happy independence, Bahamas. Happy anniversary, Bahamas. Happy independence, Bahamas. Golden anniversary, Bahamas. Regarding Minnetuma, Bahamas.
And welcome back to The Essential. Happy Independence, Bahamas. It was yesterday, but obviously the show is today, so we have to deal with that. After you get to the point of talking about independence, which by its nature, the day itself is celebrating everything up to now, And also everything up to Tuesday was celebrated on Wednesday. Yeah? Once you get to that point, you now have to then start to think forward. So what's coming down the pipe? What's happening next? How is the Bahamas going to look over the next 51 years? So let me start with you, Safia. As a young person, when you look across the landscape, you have had the opportunity to move around the Bahamas, been to school, step outside of the country, step back inside of the country. When you look at the landscape, next 51 years, what would you want to see?
I'm not particularly sure. I think growth culturally, I personally feel as if we need to keep that going amongst the youth today. And as someone who's participated in culture my whole life, seeing it be what it is today is kind of disheartening. I want that to continue. So
I'm not very clear on what you're saying.
Obviously, I'm a dancer. I've danced since I was 3 here mm-hmm. in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up doing cultural dancing, the heel toe, conch style, all that. And I can assure you, there are children out there that I've taught who don't even know what those words are.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally would really love to see us really try to keep our culture alive
mm-hmm.
in that sense. Otherwise, I think the Bahamas is in a right step developing structurally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's still some places I'm like, oh, this doesn't need to be here, but obviously I can't say that for sure. I don't know what is what as of yet, but I think it is going in the right step. I just want to see us be the Bahamas and not be America, if that makes sense.
So your argument is for maybe a tightening up of the identity to ensure that there is not an erosion of what represents the Bahamas by other cultures seeping into the space.
Absolutely. And I understand that it's inevitable that we are influenced by a country so close to us. Like, it's bound to happen. It will happen. I'm not saying we need to ignore it. I'm saying we embrace it while also keeping true to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And why is that important, though?
Because it's a sense, our identity. Like, at some point, people are like, oh, what even is the Bahamas? Like, what's to do in the Bahamas mm-hmm. when I can just do this here in the States or it's over there in the UK? I'm like, yeah, but there's just something special about the Bahamas, and I want there to always be something special about the Bahamas.
So it's about maintaining the essence of who you are, mm-hmm. the essence of the country. And so from other than within the cultural space, is there any for you as a student? One of the things persons talk about is individuals going away to school and not coming back. Is there a concern about not being able to come back to the Bahamas and do well financially? Any thoughts on that?
Lots. There's absolutely no guarantee for my generation of Bahamians to come back to this country and find a job so available as it was maybe like 20 or so years ago in a field that we want with just like a bachelor's degree. Now you're going off, you need a master's to even do like a simple job because
mm-hmm.
everybody now has a master's, which isn't a problem per se. But if I go away, I'm doing school in Canada, and I can get a job in Canada straight out of university with a bachelor's, there's a high chance I'm going to stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
If I come back and they're like, oh, you can do this, but you're paid way less than you would make over there, even considering tax deductions, I'm not willing to come back. So if we can find some way to motivate my generation and the following generation to come back, that means producing more jobs, like specific jobs, because that's what we are doing today. There's more specific university courses that aren't available here, or they're just bringing in foreigners to take over that role instead of waiting for their students to come back. Like, we just don't have that opportunity here. So if they did bring that, provide that, Bahamians would come back.
So in a way, you're arguing for maybe a shift in the way they look at policy, in the way things are developed. So there are, let's say, I don't know, 1,000 Bahamians out there who's doing this very esoteric type of a studies, but there's no such type of a job here in the Bahamas. Somebody needs to sit down and look and say, okay, yeah, you know, across our diaspora population, we have this concentration of people who actually can do this. And potentially this is something which we may need to look at and find out how we can introduce that, because it would, in the first instance, give them an opportunity to come back, but it also will create jobs and expand the economy.
Okay.
So we are paying money, because the money to send people like yourself to school come from the Bahamas, yes?
Yes.
So the country is investing directly or indirectly through the parent or otherwise,
mm-hmm,
into these individuals, but not necessarily gleaning the benefit of that, because the facilities are not being created, the opportunities are not being created locally for those persons to return in a way which they may find fulfilling, yeah?
Yes. Like for me, I feel like I have a easy way out. I'm in computer science right now, and any part of the world, I can probably find a job. And they're definitely looking for that here as well. But there's other places, there's other, not places, courses that's like so specific. But it's definitely needed over here. We
like
just
archaeology.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if that's needed over here. But there's like very specific courses that, or specializations that's taught in America, Canada, that definitely are needed here. We just don't understand the fact that we need it here yet, if that makes sense.
Well, why wouldn't we understand that?
Because we don't know what it is.
No, but if they exist there,
mm-hmm,
the persons are actually leaving here.
Yes.
And going to do these courses, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they must have thought about it, unless they just all trip and fall into these classes. So they understand it. The problem is, having acquired those skills, they cannot then look back to their homeland to use those skills. So there is a disconnect, maybe, between the demand for those type of courses and how those are going to be applied. So if someone in a policy position was to say, okay, let's do a survey, or let's have a register of the students who went off this year, for example, just shooting the breeze here, and let's say 100 students went off, let's see exactly where they went and what they are studying. And you start this year, and then over the next 5 years, you realize that, okay, 90% of them are really going to do the traditional stuff, or the very stuff that, you know, like you in computer science can come back and, you know, find jobs. But there are this consistent 10% who are going into these 1, 2, or 3 eras. And over the 5 years of study, it was like 10, 20, and then in year 5, it's 50 of them.
Yeah.
And this is something which the country could use. How do we get it off the ground? How do we create incentives, for example? How do we create tax break to encourage an organization or organizations to come in and start doing or applying that service from here so those individuals can come back in and start working. Maybe that's the type of thinking which needs to be brought to bear to this process.
You just need to start the conversation, honestly, because I have said this like a million times. If I was to run for prime minister, I would start some things. But like, I just thought of people who go into environmental science.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say exactly who is in charge of it over here, because mm-hmm. I definitely don't know who mm-hmm. it is. But I can guarantee you there's a lot of people from this country that are going off to learn that. And they're learning in specific specializations that the Bahamas definitely needs to keep for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep bringing in people because they don't understand that we're going off to that. It's because we're not... I think they don't expect us to go off and learn that. They expect us to go into accounting and teaching because that's what we're usually known for. That's what
mm-hmm.
we are mainly known for, tourism and stuff. So because they don't know that we are interested in it, because it's not really taught in high school like that. It's not taught, honestly, in a degree where we wouldn't know about it until we go off or until we're looking into university.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about a lot of courses until I was looking into university. That, you know, these things exist. So they're probably like, oh, well, if we need this, there's someone out there eventually that we could probably find instead of, hey, we have this child, 19, going off to university. They'll come back by 23. They could probably fill this role because what we have now is not too detrimental that we need to fill the space. But there's probably someone else, another Bahamian, who went off before them and can come fill this space now and can start building that department wherever it's definitely needed.
But wouldn't that take you back to the point you made earlier
mm-hmm.
about, you know, comparing marbles? So you said the money, adjusting for taxes, it need to be still attractive, because if it's not, then you won't come back.
Yes. Honestly, without a serious discussion about what the Bahamas can provide for
mm-hmm.
their students, like the incentives to come back. Obviously, our main focus, a lot of the students, they want to come back. They don't want to go back to their parents' house.
That's interesting.
I mean, I love you guys enough that I would live with y'all for a while. But I definitely don't want to be 30 living in my parents' house. So it's not just about, oh, let's provide this person with a home. It's let's provide this person with a suitable income where they can have a home, get groceries, provide for themselves for a while, you know, until, you know, they built up.
Yeah, so it's about making it attractive enough.
Yes.
But there must be an argument, though, that if you're comparing a job in the Bahamas versus the United States, it's a little bit of apples and oranges. There is some adjustment that you have to make. So if you're going to make $100,000 in the United States or Canada, and I make the argument to you that if you come back to the Bahamas, maybe we can pay you $85,000 because there's no taxes here. Why would that be a challenge for you?
I got used to being over there. That's actually the simpleness of it.
There's a certain lifestyle.
Yes.
There's a certain way of living.
Yeah. You go over there, it's like a different level of independence
mm-hmm.
from what you're used to. People like new things.
You mean getting away from your parents?
Yes.
Okay. But let's discount that.
Yeah. No, it's getting to explore something new. Because
mm-hmm.
I've been to every part of this island. Maybe not explored in depth as some others have, mm-hmm. but I've definitely been from east to west, a little bit of north to south and central.
Mm.
And to me, there's nothing too attractive left mm-hmm. for me. To be in Canada, I can stay in Ontario alone and still not explore it in the in like the next 5 years of university, if someone takes 5 years or four or six.
Right.
At that point, they've gotten used to how to live over there as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come back here and you have to learn a whole new system. Grocery shopping, you didn't do that over here by yourself.
Mm.
You don't have to buy clothes. You don't want to buy clothes over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's expensive. You over in the States and Canada, Amazon is a day shipping.
Mm.
Over here, you don't know how long it's going to take or if it's even going to come here.
Mm.
It's just a matter of, it's just easier in it's a
different.
Sense. It's different.
It's different. So maybe it is that persons like yourself need to kind of reorient yourself and accept the fact that we are island nations.
Yes.
Things are different. And I believe certainly that individuals within your generation, while I do appreciate the points that you have made, and by no means am I diminishing them, I believe that persons have an obligation to kind of look back to their countries and be willing to grow a little bit, suffer in quotes a little bit for the growth and development. But it goes back to, I think, your earlier point that without the environment within which you can flourish, and you've seen that opportunity, you don't want to go back and live with your parents. I don't want you to come live with me for real. So you have to be able to see a path forward for you to grow as an individual, to grow financially. But persons do it here in the Bahamas. It happens. Slower in the first instance, but it do happen. And I think that more individuals in your generation need to start thinking about that. But of course, the points you made about some other persons thinking about some of the things that need to be done have to come to a place where they meet. And so there is a better facilitation as to how that can happen going forward. Your last word?
I think you are right, but I don't think that my generation don't want to come back.
They do want to come back.
A lot of us do want to come back. I have definitely thought about coming back. I know my brother is definitely thinking of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, where am I going to go?
Where are you going to fit in?
Where?
Mm-hmm.
I came back. I'm doing internships, so I definitely have a possibility of getting a job once I finish university.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me, but a lot of international students, once they go off, they're getting jobs over there. They're staying over there. So it's like once you come back, your friends are over there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is over there. Everything's over there.
You need to not make so many friends. But as usual, this is what happens on The Essential. We have a wonderful conversation this evening. Safia Edwards, my co-host, my daughter, joined me and made some great points. Points, I think, which is useful for persons who are in positions of power, in positions of making policy. Give some thought to. There is a divide between how the generations see the country. They want to come back. They want to come back. But they want to be able to see a path forward. And as we celebrate independence, it must be that. It can't be just about what has passed and gone, but where are we going? How the growth and development will take place in the years to come. You've been listening to The Essential. We always end our show by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. All that is left to say is, walk good, one love, and Ubuntu. Good night.
Good night.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. You-